Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the left, the rights, and everything in between. We are fortunate to have on the variety of guests to talk about all things healthy or not healthy in their respective fields of expertise. Well, today, for the first time ever, we have a very special guest, Chief Strategy Officer of 212 Benefits and radio host of What the Health Just Happened, Mr. Eric Ross.
Yeah.
And in the spirit of keeping the listeners on their toes, we are switching things up a bit. My name is Gracie Simmendinger, CEO of Leadership Jacksonville, and I'm putting Eric in the hot seat.
I wanted to yell it so bad. Simmendinger!
Oh, thank you.
Can I yell that?
Yeah, you can.
The intro is hard, isn't it?
It is.
It's weird.
It's very wordy.
I butcher the intro 50% of the time. You did good, though.
I believe that. Thank you.
You did good,
though. I appreciate that.
You crushed it.
Thank you. Well, it's good to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us in my office.
This is your office.
Yes.
It looks good.
Thank you.
Did you build that wall?
Yes. Doesn't it look like I did?
I did that. That was a lot of work. Did you know that?
It took a long... You know what? I wasn't going to say it looked homemade, but
it is 100% homemade.
It doesn't surprise me that you made it, but I think it's really good for podcast recording, isn't it? Or radio show recording?
Radio show, podcast, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You're going to interview me.
Absolutely. Are you ready?
I'm always ready, but the problem is I can't ask you questions in return. You're in charge here. Answering questions. I'm nervous.
Are you already getting anxious about it?
I'm in the hot seat. I'm sweating, even though I cranked the AC down. I'm ready. We got Trey over there, too.
Hello.
Is it Lowell or Lowell? I always ask.
It's Lowell.
Lowell. So Lowell Productions, all the video content. I got to give Trey a shout out, too, because he's interviewed me before. But Trey, let's party.
Hello.
I'm ready to party. I got a beer.
Oh, yes, you do.
It's Saturday at 7 p.m., right?
Exactly.
Well, we are actually recording on Veterans Day, and I thought that we could acknowledge our military veterans.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you for all the veterans out there. That is one thing on my history of work experience I don't have that sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I would have put some time in, but thank you, veterans.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. Well, I actually had down here, you know, you sent me your bio ahead of time, so thank you for doing that.
Weird. Self-bios, I think, are weird. You ever write your own bio up?
You have to. Will you stop asking me questions?
I felt very uncomfortable writing like a self bio.
Yeah, it is really hard to talk about your experience and your accomplishments.
Yeah.
What are you most proud of?
Professionally or personally?
However you interpret the question.
I think personally, I just want to be a good human, right? Mm-hmm. So my kids are really important to me. I want them to say they have a good dad. My wife, I want her to be proud of me, not embarrassed too much. Professionally, there's like a wide gamut of things. I do miss the firefighter days. I'm proud of some moments there. I'm proud of this show. I think it's done pretty well. It's not work related, but we've talked to some really cool people. But at the end of the day, I just want to be a good human. I want everyone I interact with to say, you know what? He was a good dude. He tried his best. He was kind. And I think most people would say that about me. From 16 to 24, there's probably some people out there that would not say that. But I'm 41. Things have changed. So I'm most proud of the people I interact with would probably say that I'm a good dude.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And I wouldn't
be here.
I love you too, Mom. I wouldn't be here, you know, hosting What the Health Just Happened if you weren't a good dude. And so I appreciate, you know, you continuing to invite me back. And that's absolutely how I would characterize, you know, you and the energy that you bring to any room. So I do want to talk a little bit about your firefighter paramedic days.
Yeah.
What do you miss about it?
Oh, I get that question all the time.
Oh, okay. I'll have to switch gears.
No, I love answering it. No, are you kidding me? Like when I'm interacting with people, like, do you miss it? Of course I miss it. Mm-hmm. I miss the camaraderie, mm-hmm. right? We had a really... really good station, good crew. Shout out to now Captain Lily. His nickname was Booger. Michael Trapp.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his nickname was, like, when I met him, I was mid-20s. He introduced himself as Booger, by the way. He introduced himself as that.
Okay.
He's a captain now.
Something that he...
Huge impact on my life. But we had a really cool crew, trained. I said I was a professional athlete at the time because we played basketball or football every day. But... Mm-hmm. It was an incredible job. The things you see, the things you do, you get to really impact people on the streets. It was tough, though. It was tough. You run a lot of nonsense calls. I hate to say it. My perspective is Like when we show up to a call, it may not feel urgent or important to us, but to that person calling us.
Absolutely.
What you don't know is that there's 50% of calls is you show up and someone's like smoking a cigarette in their house. I got chest pain. It's tough. It's a grind. The camaraderie is huge. I do miss being in the back of an ambulance too. Like a really critical call. Like you're in the back of an ambulance, whether it's again, gunshot wounds, cardiac arrest, a kid with their parents back there that like, I think of burns on young kids. It was an incredible job. The biggest issue is I worked in Marion County, you know where Ocala is? So I commuted from Atlantic Beach to Ocala for multiple years, 2 hour drive.
Wow.
You work 24 hours and I'm driving home, smashing coffee to make it home and I'd crash. But I think the camaraderie is the biggest thing. You got to have a good crew for that.
Sure.
And I like I'm an adrenaline junkie. I wanted, like everybody wants, most firefighters want that intense, crazy call where you show up, your heart rate spikes from 60 to 120 immediately. That's probably not healthy, by the way.
No, it's totally healthy.
And then as guys age, they want slower stations. But I think the number one thing, Michael Trapp, Justin Goodlett, I'm giving these guys a shout out. Craig Eustick. We had a solid crew. And it was incredible. It's a great experience. Life changed, but I definitely miss it sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you transitioned into becoming a nurse.
Yeah, so there's a bridge program. A lot of cities have this, but here in Jacksonville, we love shout outs too. So Florida State College of Jacksonville has a bridge program where medics can get an expedited nursing license.
Wow.
The timing of that was not available, so I did the regular program. Again, great experience getting my nursing degree, but when I was at the fire department, it was just life changed. Life always changes. I said, you can write down your I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to write down everything I'm going to do. Most of the time, set that list on fire and throw it in the trash can. We can plan and think we're going to do things. But as I was at the fire department, it was the lack of sleep that really took its toll.
Really?
Oh, it was debilitating. I'm like, I need 8 hours of sleep a night.
Because you were getting calls at all hours.
If you get one call in the middle of the night, that destroys your circadian rhythms.
Right.
And the closest hospital, if I was in the ambulance, the closest hospital was a 20-minute drive with lights and sirens on.
Right.
No lights and sirens is a 45-minute drive plus.
Right. Wow.
So one call in the middle of the night, if I go to sleep at 9 or 10 at the station and we get a call at 11, like that's 2 hours. Then you come back. So there's multiple
plus
sleepless
nights. Plus the adrenaline kicks in.
Every time. Imagine going from a dead sleep to wake up.
Yeah.
But what I found is I loved the clinical side of the fire department. Everybody wants to cut cars and spray fires and all that stuff. But when you're on the ambulance, you're one-on-one with a patient or sometimes two medics and a patient in the back. I loved it. So I'm at that stage of life. I'm like, what can I do to open more doors professionally? And it was going to nursing school because I had that bridge program. And my thought at the time was like, all right, I go from helping one patient at a time to working in the hospital. You help 4 to 5 patients at a time. So that kind of started the whole entrepreneur's journey, I call it. But as I looked at options after the fire department, the nursing degree, it opened a ton of doors. And I still love the clinical side. I hate it too, but I love it.
Yeah.
Did that answer the question?
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's just interesting that that's been your path. Can you tell me a little about your fire science management degree? And what exactly is fire science?
I love it. Were you going to say something? I thought,
no.
I got it dialed in when I could tell Trey's about to ask a question. So again, this is another shout out. I went to UNF. I moved to Jacksonville in 2001 to go to UNF for criminal justice. I knew I was going to be a firefighter. That's what I wanted to do. So after getting a degree there, went to the fire academy, medic school, got hired. JFRD wasn't hiring at the time. St. John's County interviewed. They were only hiring 3 people, didn't get hired. Like I was interviewing everywhere. I took the first job I could get, which is Marion County. My goal, right? You write down all these things. One day I'm going to be the chief. I'm going to be the fire chief of Jacksonville Fire Rescue or Boca Raton where I grew up somewhere. Like I want to be a chief. As I'm applying places, I'm like, what other boxes can I check to make me more hireable, eventually promote within the department?
Sure.
I don't even know if FSCJ still has this program. They used to have a fire science management program. So a lot of guys from JFRD, when I was in the class, I'll never forget. It was me and one other person were the only people that didn't work for Jacksonville Fire Rescue, JFRD. But it was a bachelor program in management. It's just like a business management degree, but it was fire science management. So again, how do you coach and develop people? How do you like complicated fire scenarios? They'd run scenarios constantly. but it's a degree in basically fire management. And in my mind, I get this, checks another box, makes me more hireable, and yep. one day I'm going to be the chief. So I got a degree in fire science management, which now is sitting
in... I don't exactly know what that means.
Think of like a business management degree,
yeah.
but it's designed specifically for firefighters that want to promote. So if you're working at a fire department, you've been on the job for 10 years, the promotional test, like you have to take a test that's, you know, you're ranked off points.
Yep.
If you have that degree, that piece of paper, that raises you up on your promotability.
Gotcha.
I would be, again, I'd have to look. It's been a long time. I have to look back to see when I got that degree. If the program still exists and if JFRD guys are still going through it. It's a great experience. Again, just sharing stories and mm-hmm. learning how to manage people.
Right. It is interesting. It's the management side. Of course, management is the name. When I heard fire science management, I'm like, okay, you're managing the science of fire. That's literally what I thought it was. Good That's point. Why I was thinking, explain to me what exactly that means. Because it doesn't read as management of people. To me, it's, the you know, term, how do you yes. manage fire crisis and that the is, science behind fires? That's why I was very curious to talk to you about it.
That is a great question. And now I'm thinking about it. So it's like a bachelor in science. You know, every program is like a bachelor in science or a bachelor in, I don't even know. That's a great question. We did talk about the science. You know, the four things required for a fire to happen? This is the scientific part.
No.
Do you know this?
I know some of them.
I probably talked about this. So oxygen's one.
Yeah, oxygen.
Heat.
Good.
Light.
Fuel. So heat, fuel, oxygen, and a chemical chain reaction of the three.
Oh.
So the four things for a fire to exist. You have to have heat, right? Because it's not going to be a fire. You have to have fuel, so wood, paper, et cetera, gasoline. And you have to have oxygen. And a chemical chain reaction of the four. So if you take out one of those ingredients,
can't happen.
Think of an oil fire in the kitchen. You don't spray water on it. You put a lid on it to eliminate the oxygen. I'm geeking out here. Sorry. I'm
learning something.
Heat, fuel, oxygen, and a chemical chain reaction of the four.
See, that's what I was looking for when I asked you that question. Very cool.
But it was about managing people, which at the time, I'm trying to think how old I was, probably 27 or 28, and I should not be managing people at that age. But it is basically a management degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How many folks were in the class?
I think we had probably mid-20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good size group to connect with. I see in topics of conversation, I seriously wrote science behind fires. That is one thing I wanted to talk to you about.
We checked the science box.
Check.
I think I checked that box, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You also on your bio mention the term entrepreneurs. Did you come up with that yourself?
No, and I honestly want to trademark it. I think I probably missed my window. So after the nursing school, I was working in the ER downtown at Baptist.
Okay.
I got picked up by some healthcare entrepreneurs. These guys,
Reed you up
Gray
the
and
ER.
Ryan McClellan. So my wife was a nanny for Reed for years.
Okay.
We'd met each other. I went, you know, went to his wedding. And then after nursing school, they said, hey, we're about to start a company. Will you come work here? And you got to remember, like, all I knew was bunker gear, scrubs, the blue collar world. I was like, I guess I'll come meet and talk to you guys. But teaching me how to run and operate a business, sales, recruiting, hiring, firing, looking at a P&L. They said, hey, we're going to teach you how to read a P&L. I had no idea what a P&L was.
Right.
And I love, like, one of my favorite stories when I started, there's a lot of communication with some large insurance carriers. Also, Humana at the time was doing healthcare stuff. And I kept getting emails from these case managers. And at the bottom of their email, they had a picture and all these terms. And this is week one on the job. I'm like, guys, what the hell's on this email?
Yeah, what are all these acronyms?
It was an email signature. I didn't know what an email, to just show you, I'd never sent emails.
Yeah.
And I remember getting all these emails. But they scooped me up. Incredible experience, just learning the business side. And I think deep down, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I always say firefighter turned registered nurse turned entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I think, like, entrepreneurs at heart, there's so many people in healthcare that are entrepreneurs. And I just one day, like, I like mixing, word mashing, I call it, where you mix two words and entrepreneurs.
Right.
And I've gone back and forth on trademarking that. I'm sure someone else uses it.
Why not?
I think it's great.
At least you should look into it.
I'll tell you why, because I've talked to a trademarking lawyer and he has certain criteria that you have, like, I tried to trademark what the hell just happened.
Yeah.
And somebody owns the trademark in another state. talking about insurance. Like it's, again,
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can't you send them like a letter or something and say,
what was the cost of it? I'll pay for it to take the trademark, but they won't respond to my emails. Go ahead, Trey.
Why do you think those guys chose you? What did they see in you that like you had no experience? Why did they choose you?
That's a great question.
I mean, I have my own theories, but I'd be curious. What do you think?
The first thing was like, we need a nurse. A nurse has to be in this role. And obviously, I say this humbly, I think like naturally I get along with people. I'm very outgoing. Mm-hmm. And they opened and scaled and sold a lot of companies and made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And they wanted someone to kind of be the face of these organizations. I believe this, right? But it had to be a nurse. They needed a nurse on file for a director of nursing. That's the funny thing. At one point, I was the director of nursing. I had been out of nursing school for like 3 months.
Wow.
Right? But I think they saw something in me just from personal experience interacting with them. And they're still like, they're some of the most influential people in my life as an adult. I might send them this episode.
You should.
Reed and Ryan like literally changed my life. There's another guy, Aaron Novak, Lisa Constantine, just brought me from this, what I call blue collar world to honestly the white collar entrepreneurial world. But they saw something in me that maybe I didn't see in myself. And then now, 10, 12 years later, I feel like I get it. And it all worked. Like everything, I talk about writing that plan down, balling it up, throwing it away, or setting it on fire. But I do believe everything happens exactly the way that it's supposed to. And they were a big part of that. Does that answer your question?
I knew that's kind of how you were going to say it, but I wanted people to hear it. Because that's kind of how I would perceive the situation.
They saw something in me that I probably didn't see in myself. And a big part of it is just, I think, being outgoing and putting yourself out there and comfortable talking to anyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, gentlemen, and Lisa.
I think in addition to what they saw in you, I'm curious from your perspective going from, kind of boots on the ground approach. You say one of the best parts of being a paramedic was being in the ambulance with people that really needed you in such a moment of crisis. And so choosing to change your career path from essentially to a desk job where you're not kind of on the front lines of defense to help people in the ER or in an ambulance. So can you talk a little bit about that decision that you made from?
I love that question because I think about it constantly. I miss hands-on care. That's another thing I miss is like, I want to directly help that person to the point. So Volunteers in Medicine, do you know that group?
Of course.
I want to get her on the show, the CEO of that.
But I can help you with that.
We've gone back. It's always scheduling stuff, right?
Jennifer, you should interview her. You got to come on the show.
The more people that come on understand what the show's about, right? But I'm also looking for an opportunity. It's just time. Like how much time do I have? Can I commit 1 or 2 days a month? The answer is like, yes. What's a priority and do we make time for?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I miss like directly interacting with someone is sick and in a difficult moment fighting cancer. I don't care what it is. They had a father-son camping trip this weekend. Every kid that had cut themselves with their pocket knife. Even the little stuff, just doing that. So I miss that a ton, but I think it's life circumstances. So why did I change? Money was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. I always talk about that's okay. Some people are scared to talk about like money matters. Mm-hmm. At the time, before I met my wife and had kids, I wanted to be single my whole life, right? I'm going to work one day on, 2 days off and do whatever I want.
Right.
I was making $12.50 an hour at the fire department. Mm. I made more money bartending in college or working as a bar back in college, right?
Sure. Joe's Crab Shack?
Joe's Crab Shack. I got fired from Joe's Crab Shack. Joe's Crab Shack twice, by the way.
Wow. Impressive. Twice.
Yeah.
Why'd they bring you back?
It was a different manager.
They didn't know any different. Oh, wow.
Oh, dang, 5 minutes already. So, I lost my train of thought. Missing it.
You were talking about money and when you had kids.
Oh, money matters. Money matters, right? So then I got married. I can't do this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I can't, the sleepless nights, the toll it takes on you, even difficult calls. But what really changed it when my wife got pregnant with our first son, Everett, like, that's when I'm like, I'm not risking my life. I still want to and contribute. But so that was one thing was looking long-term and financially, even if you promoted and I got hired with JFRD and I was a chief and all those things would be great. But the other way I looked at it, this is more important, is when I was in the back of that ambulance, I could help one patient at a time. Mm-hmm. That was it, which is great, right? And then when I got my nursing degree, I'm like, all right, now I can help four people at a time. And if someone checks out of the ER or whatever, then I'm helping maybe eight people in a day. The entrepreneur journey, we were helping very complicated patients not get readmitted to the hospital. So in my mind, I'm going from helping four people to 60 in Jacksonville a day.
Right.
And then eventually the company got big enough. We had like 500 plus nurses across the country. So I look at it now as how many people can I impact and affect in the healthcare landscape? And this shows a big part of it. It's talking about the goods, the bads, the ups and downs, everything in between, right?
And are you still in my line?
Did you write that?
I said it.
But the same thing in even the journey here, I'm happy to talk about how I ended up in employee benefits and 212 benefits, Adrian and Joey. I know we're almost out of time. Now we are responsible for 10,000 people. Our business is responsible for 10,000 people. And it's health insurance. I say health insurance sucks. We try to make it suck less. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. It's complicated. But I make more impact for more people now than I ever would have at that fire department.
Yeah.
Other than managing people. So hope that answered that. That was a really long-winded answer. I apologize.
No, you're good.
Psych!
I think what I also heard you say is your priority shifted when you had a family. And so I think that's okay to make decisions or, shall we say, sacrifices, depending on how you look at them. But I also think you talked about the long-term priorities of, you know, or your goals related to your family. And so that definitely shifted. And I think the other thing that I heard you say is when you went from helping one to four, you know, to eight to 16 to now, you know, 10,000 is... What I took from that is you had selfishly you want to help one, right? Because that gives you that personal connection. But I think logically you think I could really use my tools and talents to help many more people and then maybe get that personal connection in other ways, but still have a greater impact, you know, in the health space.
It's okay to be selfish, right? And like you said, it's selfishly I can do more. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. I think in a good way.
Yeah.
How much time we got left?
You got 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. No, I gave you 5 minutes. Yeah, so now we're like worried.
No, I keep trying to look too. I'm just dialed in where I look at Trey. He's monitoring.
I do have maybe this is not a quick question. We'll see. So in your email signature, now that you send emails all the time, it says,
and I know what that is.
Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one. Mm.
Who Marcus taught, Aurelius.
Yes. Who taught you what a good man should look like?
Oh, that's a great question. So one, I love the old Stoics, Marcus Aurelius specifically too. He's got a great book. Long, long, long time ago. Easy answer. My grandpa Bill, like, changed my life. Mm-hmm. My dad, Pete Ross, and my late brother, Jerry Ross. It is not even debatable. And then I have some other people along the way, but, you know, coaches growing up that I still keep in touch with. But I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Grandpa Bill.
That's awesome. Do you ever change your email signature? Is that something that is a quote that you've always stuck with because it has so much meaning behind it?
I might change it eventually. There's a couple other Stoic lines I like, but that one to me just hits home.
What are some of the other ones you know off the top of your head?
Health insurance sucks. We make it suck less. That's a big one.
That's a good point.
I got to think through that too.
Awesome. Do I
say it? Yes. Do the.
Oh,
we got 15 24 seconds. Minutes.
You got 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
That's what the health just happened.
That was good.
I forgot I had to close. That's I good. Thought I was closing out the end.
No. It's a commercial break. Welcome back to the second.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. If you are listening to us on the radio show, welcome back from the commercial break. And if you're listening to us on your favorite podcast channel, we don't have commercials. So thank you for being here.
We need sponsors, though.
Do you?
Not really.
Oh, okay, no. Good.
Yeah. Because then you have to say what they want you to say and you got to plug them every time.
Are you doing my job for me again? As
no,
host?
No. You asked a question.
Oh, okay.
Shout
you
out to
you. Are you looking for sponsors? Oh, yeah. Thank you, sponsors, for 212, but I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So in the second half of the show today, as usual, we're going to be doing healthy or not healthy.
All right.
And this time I will be interviewing Mr. Eric Ross on my healthy or not healthy topics. So just a minute ago, off camera, you were telling me that you have someone coming to fix your AC. So healthy or not healthy, AC versus windows down?
That's a loaded question. I'm going to go, depending on the temperature, windows down always healthy. Windows down healthy, I think.
Okay. All right. I am more of an AC gal. Not that I don't love windows down, but AC, you know.
I want to ask you a question so bad right now. I'm not.
You can do it later. All right.
Windows down, healthy.
Okay. Windows down, healthy. Got it. Healthy or not healthy, walking and texting?
I'm going to say healthy.
Okay. Tell me more.
If you're exercising, if you're rucking, if you're going for a walk for exercise in a safe place, no, I changed my mind. Not healthy.
Not healthy. Oh, all
it drives
the way around.
Me nuts. When you're like someone's walking across the street, texting, and like you're not looking where you're going, it's not healthy.
Okay. It's not healthy. All right. Good for us all to know. Healthy or not healthy, making small talk with strangers.
I'm going healthy.
Absolutely.
All day.
Why do you say that?
I will talk to anyone. Anytime, where are they at? Are they in a good place? Like, I love small talk. And yeah. You know, like, you can tell if someone's not into it.
Sure.
Got it. That's a self-awareness. Like, all right, this person's not into it.
As far as your children are concerned, would you say it's healthy or not healthy for them to talk to strangers? Would you change your answer on that? Or you still think it's good for them to have some
I'm going to say it's all circumstantial,
yeah,
right? I'm saying healthy. I want you
healthy,
to understand
all the way around.
I'm going to say I want you to talk to everyone. Where are they in life? Now, within reason, right? If my 10-year-old is at the park and some guy pulls up in an ice cream van, hey, come here and get in the back of the van. Like, that's my job as a dad to say that's not healthy.
Right.
So children to me, like in their class, if a kid is a new kid in the class, like that's healthy.
Yeah.
You talk to everybody, but you lead with kindness.
Yep.
I'm going healthy.
Love that.
Except the ice cream guy at the park in the weird van.
That's fair.
Don't talk to them.
Healthy or not healthy, audiobooks.
Super healthy. Not even debatable. Are you an audiobook person?
I'm not.
I'm not saying, do you read books?
I do read books.
I love.
I've tried audiobooks and I cannot get into them.
Okay. I'm going to elaborate. We're breaking our own rules here. Like, don't elaborate on answers unless you want to.
You told me you weren't going to, but continue.
I am an avid reader. I love reading. I love copies of books, highlighters, but I also love audiobooks. So I have, by the way, there's a cool app called Hoopla that's tied to the Jacksonville Library. If you have a library card, you can literally get free audiobooks on Hoopla.
Oh,
but I also have paid subscription. I am an avid, like, give me material that makes me better as a human. I love certain style of fiction books. Audiobooks I love. Mainly at night, I cannot turn my brain off.
Mm-hmm.
So at nighttime, this is the funniest thing, an audiobook to fall asleep, sometimes I'll listen to the same chapter like 10 times
because
I fall asleep to it. But I love drive time. It's either music that gets me hyped up. I want to ask you a question. What's your hype song?
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac.
Oh, that's a great
one. My son's name is Mac. That's what we play to
there
get him hyped
go.
Up. Oh, man. That is a good one. Sorry. Healthy. Audiobooks.
What's your hype up song?
Annie Up by M.O.P. It's a hip hop song. It's all over commercials. Okay. It came out probably 2000, I'm guessing 2001.
Okay. We'll have to
also,
to
Blink 182, Damn It. I love that song.
All right. Blink. Gotcha. I don't know if we talked about this the last time I was on the show, Eric, but I have really strong feelings about this and I want to know how you feel. Hopefully we're on the same page. Not wearing shoes at the gym.
Oh, this is good. That was a healthy or not healthy, you said.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
So it depends the circumstances. So barefoot training is growing in popularity. Most of it's about grounding. You go outside. I love being barefoot in a public gym. If you're like on a squat rack or a leg extension or whatever, like what gym are we talking about?
Like a public gym, sure.
Yeah. That's not healthy.
I mean, unless when you say a private gym, are you saying in the comfort of your own garage? Cool, do your thing.
But I'm like saying CrossFit gyms a lot of times too, they clean the mats. Like a LA Fitness or Bailey's.
Yeah.
The problem is barefoot training is growing in popularity. There's case studies now that make you training barefoot healthier.
So it's healthy for the athlete, but is it healthy for the other athletes within the gym construct?
I think it depends the situation, right? If you're at a squat rack that people rotate on, like, I don't want to see your feet up on that gym. You know, you laugh. And we talked about this. Same thing. I think you sent me a picture once. That was a text. That's what I told you about. When people text me randomly, healthy or not healthy, that was one of them. Barefoot training.
I still obviously can't get over
it. I'm going public gyms, many people not healthy. Different scenarios, like my garage gym, the people come work out, take your shoes off, do whatever you want.
Yeah, sure. I don't know much about your pets. If you have pets in the house, do you have animals?
Dude.
So I don't know.
Do that. Or not sorry.
Oh.
I'm going to go right now. My pet situation at the house, not healthy.
Not healthy.
Okay. I'll tell you why. I had an English bulldog growing up in high school, in post-college, and then a French bulldog. Like, I love bulldogs. Okay. Love them.
Yes.
Both of my bulldogs post-college with my wife, Stephanie, passed away like very tragically. One had a heat stroke.
I've heard that about bulldogs.
Brutal.
Right.
And the other one was a French bulldog, like crazy, had a brain tumor, came out of nowhere, like completely healthy.
Yikes.
So now I was like anti-cats. I hate cats. My wife got a cat. So our French bulldog's name was Bacon. And then we got a cat named Eggs.
Oh.
I love this cat. I hate cats. He's the chillest cat in the world. But again, I can't believe you're asking this. This has nothing to do with healthcare or anything, and I love these conversations. My wife and I celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. We're flying back from Hawaii. We got married in Hawaii now 13 years ago. She says, hey, I got a dog. And we're on the plane coming back from our 10-year anniversary from Hawaii. And I'm like, haha, that's funny. I thought she was kidding.
Right.
We got back and she got this little rat dog. It's like, not healthy. I hate it. It runs. We named him Chicken because now we're like themed animals.
Sure.
I love everything and everyone, but I don't care for this dog. Uh-huh. If you open the front door, gone. Then we have to chase this dog around the neighborhood. So no, my pet situation, not healthy.
Not healthy.
Hate cats. Got a cat now. I do like the cat.
Okay.
And Chicken, my dog.
So cat's healthy. Chicken, not healthy. The dog.
It's just an additional stress and anxiety that, like, to me, like, how do you eliminate stressors and anxiety in your life? That's a big thing for me. Don't bring on for anyone. I don't want to bring you more stress and drama in your life.
Yep.
So, like, I have three kids. We're going to add another responsibility when we travel for trips where we put in the dog.
Right.
Holy crap. We're out of dog. Like, he crapped in the house again. I'm not picking it up, but then I'm not going to leave the poop on the floor. You open a whole can really here. This is bad.
I know. I'm listening to this. I'm like, bad. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Remember when you said you were just going to answer?
Sorry. My pet situation at the house is not healthy. That was a super long. Whew. I wanted to tire it there.
I knew none of this.
Oh, this dog is really
none of this.
Bane of my existence.
I also love Eggs. The name Eggs.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Bacon, Eggs, and now we have Chicken.
I love it. I love it so much. So I will briefly allow you to ask me any healthy or not healthy, should you have any that are top of mind. Otherwise, I have a few more questions.
Healthy or not healthy, leadership Jacksonville.
Very healthy.
I want to mention that, right? So leadership Jacksonville, you're the CEO now.
Yes.
Incredible organization, creating future leaders. Mm-hmm. Healthy. Healthy or not healthy, the team working at leadership Jacksonville.
Amazingly healthy.
Okay. You got it, Trey Lely. Healthy or not healthy, hosting, what the hell just happened?
So healthy.
Okay. All right. Healthy or not healthy, having ashes on the table during a conversation.
Well, we would never know.
I'm curious to know the why that provides you comfort. So you did open up the question. Do you want to share a little bit about?
Yeah, I won't go too deep because you prep for this. My brother passed away. It'll be 10 years next year. I have a little urn of his ashes. I wondered if it would come up and I was going to like pull it out. Okay, well, now we might as well do it now. This is weird. I don't think it's weird. Like it's just like a lucky charm.
Yeah.
I keep my brother around me all the time.
Where are the rest of his ashes? Are they?
Isla Mirada.
Okay.
And a couple other places.
Okay.
We spread the bulk of his ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Ross. One of the big impacts in my life. You asked, like, who's
I remember you saying that.
Yep.
Yep. And then do you want to share a little bit about what else is in that box?
Oh, there's some cufflinks in here from my firefighter days. Those are a long time ago. I can't wear them now. I'm not a firefighter anymore, but they're little fire extinguishers.
You can't wear them?
I mean, you can, but I don't wear cufflinks.
I mean, it's a conversation. Yeah. How many people are wearing cufflinks?
I hate wearing button-down shirts. Like I don't dress up often.
Right.
I probably should, but I just like, comfortable clothes.
Yeah. Healthy. You don't need to. Comfortable clothes, healthy?
Comfortable clothes are healthy.
Sure. Yeah. Uncomfortable clothes, not healthy because yeah. you're not comfortable.
Correct.
That makes
Particularly
sense.
In Florida, dressing up sucks because of the weather.
Just being yeah, honest. Like button down tough. Shirt, tie. It's like, ugh, tight on my humidity. Neck. Not healthy. No. We're going off the rails here. I love these are my favorite conversations.
We absolutely are. So I do want to bring up something you mentioned earlier as well. I want to talk about nicknames.
Nicknames.
Past and present nicknames. So you already mentioned your Hot Sauce Ross nickname. Can you talk about the origin?
I think we need to mention the best nickname ever is Simmendinger. I love yelling.
Which
that.
Is also my last name, but
but again, every time I see you in public, I just want to yell that, and I'm like, I don't know if that embarrasses her.
Or when you're talking to my colleagues on the phone, you still yell at anyone.
Correct.
Yeah, that's cool.
Especially if I hear you. No, you're in it the doesn't background. Bother me. So nicknames growing up, it was Big E, Eric Ross, E Money, but Big E was a big one. So my oldest son, his name's Everett. We call him Big E now.
E Ross.
E. Ross is
that's what we all called E.
Ross
in college.
Was in college for sure. So for those of you that don't know, the gentleman behind the camera, Mr. Trey over there, we were fraternity brothers. Everyone called me E. Ross. Hot Sauce Ross came in the fire department. My lieutenant, who's now Captain Booger,
right?
Booger.
Shout out Booger.
Like second, it might have been the second shift. He just called me Hot Sauce Ross. And like,
do you like hot sauce?
I love the food. It's okay. I like oh,
okay.
Sriracha.
So it wasn't because you
it
were
was not
making
because
meals
I eat hot sauce.
Were,
okay. It's because it rhymes. So my middle son Mac is now Applesauce Ross. But a lot of people that know me well call me, like I'll walk down, your hot sauce. I think it's Hot Sauce Ross. That's a pretty funny nickname.
That is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it came from the fire department, kind of stuck, depending on how I get to know someone. It's like, what should I call you? And then I'm like, you should call me Hot Sauce Ross.
Do you have any other nicknames besides those?
Asshole, idiot.
Doofus.
Doofus, yeah. All the norms. Do we have to bleep that out?
We'll all right, all right.
Sorry. No, I think that's probably it. Hot Sauce Ross now. What's your nickname?
I don't have too many. Well, we are trying to identify nicknames within the Leadership Jacksonville team. So I don't have any that are of present. But in high school, people called me Gracie Lou Freebush, Gracie Lou, G. Lou Boo, G. Lou, you know, everything G-Lou's sort of related to Gracie Lou Freebush and Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality.
That was her name, Gracie Lou Freebush.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that's where all those...
Oh, that's good. I love high school nicknames.
Yeah. So those we're are... Yeah,
this
we're
is great, man.
Taking a left turn. Or G-Race.
G-Race?
G-Race.
Oh, that's good, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know we are approaching the holiday season, and perhaps we can talk about healthy or not healthy related to this, but I'm curious to know a little bit more about what traditions within your family or individual are sacred to you.
That's a great question. I love Thanksgiving, not even the food. You know what's funny? I don't like Thanksgiving food. It's like turkey, gravy, stuffing. I just have to be around family and friends during Thanksgiving. It's just like, I want to be thankful all the time.
Yeah.
And that feels like a day that everyone's always thankful. Again, families are interesting. So sometimes you're sitting there, it's weird.
Yeah.
I just love Thanksgiving.
Would you say Pete's Giving at Pete's Bar is healthy or not healthy?
100% healthy. Not even debatable. You know what's funny? So they do a big 5K there.
I've done it before.
Pete the Job Guy, who started this show, he's the one who brought me into the radio show.
Okay.
He's hosting it this year. It's probably his last year, though. So maybe next year I'll be announcing the turkey trot next year.
Wow. We'll see. That would be
Doesn't
neat.
Matter. That is healthy. Okay. Pete's Bar on Thanksgiving. I don't care. Run your 5K. Don't run your 5K. Go out there. Celebrate.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
Like some people are not healthy out there by about 3 or 4 o'clock. But I think it brings hundreds of people together to be thankful and enjoy
it's
life.
Very social.
Christmas time. Now this stage of life, like we want Christmas morning to ourselves. No family, nobody, like Santa's still real. I'm winking here. I don't think my kids will ever, maybe when they're older they will. They're still Santa, but like for us it's, no one comes over to our house till after at least 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
No in-laws, nobody, like this is our time to celebrate Christmas, I'm a man of faith, mm-hmm. the birth of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a ritual that will never be touched. That's right. That's our time. Other rituals, assembling toys on Christmas Eve
okay.
with at least one bottle of wine, sometimes two or three. And then by the end of the night when I'm assembling toys, the next morning I'm like, oh man, I kind of messed that assembly up. But that's, I think every parent can relate to that.
Right.
Trey, can you relate to that, assembling toys?
I can, but I think I'm in the beginning phase where the toys are kind of easy.
Oh, dude.
So they're not that advanced yet.
Those are some good ones, I think, important to me.
Is there anything that is sacred to your tradition that isn't associated with holiday per se, but maybe around weekends or family gatherings or morning rituals or something like that, where you're like, this is how, you know, I'm successful if I start my day this way?
These are great questions. So
I am a great host.
You're taking over.
You're fired.
You're fired.
I have a line that I use, like a personal motto that every single day I say to my kids. If I drop them off at school, like, I say the same thing every time. Be kind, learn lots, try your best, have fun. That is my personal life motto. Mm-hmm. Be kind. It's so easy and changes the world, and a lot of people don't do it. Mm-hmm. Learn lots. Like, I'm convinced everyone should continue to learn. I don't care if you're 90 or six. Try your best.
Were you pointing at yourself because you're six? Or?
Well, I'm up here, yeah, I'm six. Actually. Yeah. Be kind, learn lots, try your best, have fun. Cause I think having fun. So one personal ritual with my kids every single day, they hear that line to the point, I don't even say it sometimes, right before I say, kiddos, what are we doing at school today? Aww. And they'll say it out.
So you drop them off at school every morning?
No, my wife does it most of the time. But when I do, like, again, we play hype songs in the car. The other one is family dinner. I grew up, it's a crazy story. My parents got divorced when I was five, remarried each other when I was 10.
So like, are they still married?
They're still married now, yes.
You find the right person, but not at the right time. Correct. So there you go.
That's an interesting story. But they tried family dinners. My brother and I were older, so like, we didn't want to do it as much. But the family dinner, as often as you can, no phones, no TV on, like, that's where you have these conversations. So we have at least minimum 3 days a week. I try really hard not to do after hours. There's so many happy hours, events, marketing events. I don't want to say I'm over them. I still love them, and you get invited. So
you got to pick and choose.
Like, that family dinner time, that is, it has to happen.
Right.
At least once a week. We shoot for three a week.
Right. Are you the cook, or is your wife the cook?
My wife is. I love, what's funny is I love cooking, but Stephanie's happy place is making food. Like, she loves hosting, making these elaborate meals with kids. It's like, a lot of times, chicken nuggets and whatever the hell they'll eat. But
what is a healthy meal that she makes for the family that you really love?
Quick meal, like, dang, really?
Five.
Man.
Flying.
Like roast chicken. So Sunday nights, mostly family dinners is Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Roast chicken, veggies, and potatoes in the oven. The whole house smells incredible. Like, Sunday nights roast chicken, which she got from her dad.
Yummy.
But she makes, I don't even know how to say, she cooks a bunch of these fancy French meals and tells me the name. And I'm just like, oh, this is delicious. I don't know what it's called. I almost called it a Le Creuset, but that's the pot that's
that
cooked
is,
in.
That I'm like, is a pot. It's
not that. That's a good question. I like that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I also wonder too, what type of food do your kids like? Like, what is their go-to besides chicken nuggets? What are some healthy?
Three kids, different ages, six, eight, and 10. One loves steak. Loves steak.
Well, that's expensive.
Two, okay, thank you. Two do not love steak. Those two.
That makes it challenging.
Love shrimp.
So a Serpenter family.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
There we go.
We do a big family keys trip every year, and I like to catch lobsters. So
I have never done that. That's caught on lobsters. My bucket list.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah. I love, like, that's my, talk about a happy place. Yeah. Every year, my daughter's name is Isla after Isla Murata.
Okay.
We go every year, big family trip, but I love catching lobsters too.
What is the season for catching lobsters?
So there's
when do you go down?
There's a mini season that's in July. It's the third Wednesday, Thursday of every July, but it's, do not go to the Keys during mini season. Not go.
Plus it's around 4th of July, so it's got to be packed.
Well, it's late July, but I'm telling you, like, everyone in the world that wants to catch lobsters goes for mini season. It's like, half are hammered, can't drive a boat. The other half have never lobstered. Like, it's almost cursed there. But then regular season starts the 1st of August and it actually runs for 8 months. So there's only a couple months that it's off, but we go October every year.
Okay. So you just got back, really?
We did. Yep.
And how was it?
It was epic.
Was it refreshing?
I come back exhausted because I'm on the, like, I'm going nonstop, but it is always, well, that's another good question I ask people. Like, if you were loaded and money was of no consequence, what would you do?
Are you asking me or are you asking yourself?
I know what mine is. I would have a house in the Keys and a house in the mountains, right? And I'd go to the Keys when it's nice and go to the mountains when it's nice.
So you wouldn't have a place in Jacksonville anymore?
Of course. This is home base.
Okay.
This is home base.
I want to make sure you said at the Keys and then in the mountains.
I'm going to turn one last question on you because, man, this time goes fast. If you had money, literally didn't matter. You could do whatever you want. Would you keep working? Would you buy? Like, what would you do?
I would definitely keep working. I love my job. And so I think I would still be working at Leadership Jacksonville, doing the work that I do just because I feel so passionate about it. I would love the opportunity to travel internationally more and to visit countries that I've only, wanted to go to that are on my bucket list and just have the ability to do that.
I have to ask you another question. What's a country or two on your bucket list you haven't been to?
I really want to go to Vietnam.
Ooh. Oh, heart is beautiful.
Yes. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
So it's not kind of what a regular tourist place, but I've heard amazing things about Vietnam. And then I also just have an interest in visiting Bali, which is kind of also in that general area, but seen incredible photos and pictures. There's a lot of places. I am one of those people that I like to visit places I've never been to before, as opposed to kind of going back to the same places over and over. Cause I think you could learn so much from different, very healthy, the healthiest.
Is that it?
One minute.
Any Wrap final thoughts, for your hostess with the mostest?
I have no thoughts. You're right. You got to wrap this up. The last 60 seconds is on you, boss.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Eric Ross, for joining us on What the Health podcast and also radio show. It's been a pleasure getting to know you better and been, just a fun celebrity host, if you will.
You crushed it.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. So thank you for having me and thank you all for listening.
And that's
the
that's what the health
that's
just
what
happened.
The health just happened.